American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting you from the Internet for Monday, January 26, 2008. And you are listening to Newsreel, a WOG global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are... Two, you can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNI Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Surveyum Radio, Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, Radio Red Mercury, and we broadcast every Thursday night, and Second Life Node Archers. At the grid, you know, the one with the 666 on the end. It's ISTA for the Beast. I used to think it was Elite for the Beast, but it's actually 1-55-74-666. And that will bring you to here, I think. But we just moved the stage. So hopefully that grid coordinates is still good. And I'm waiting
I'll update it on the news.
We'll find out. Still good. Good. Okay, so the grid's still solid. Excellent, Smithers. And of course, the other voice, the other angel on this side of the wire, making sure that the signal's coming through clear, my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian.
That would be me.
That would be you.
Back again for the second time this year.
It is. And you know, I noticed that your vocals are good.
Good. Pipes are working.
And the lag isn't bad, provided you don't pause and wait for me to try to give you more lead in. But the lag's actually pretty good tonight.
Yeah, it's quite nice. I can hear you. You're not breaking up, and I guess I'm not breaking up for you, so it's quite nice.
Yeah. Well, we've worked together enough on the radio that we should sort of do this. I think we're the only guys doing the show actually in Second Life these days. You know, I think that's... I don't know if anyone else...
for the crowd. Anybody else know? Any other radio stations?
Don't say anything. You got to be careful with questions to the crowd. These people are animals. They'll kill each other.
That's true.
Okay? They go insane. They go insane.
Yeah, we've got a good crowd here tonight in Second Life, which is quite nice.
Yeah, so. Well, the numbers are up. I think we were at 30. We're probably a little bit more than 30 right now.
So if anybody wants to visit us in Second Life, we broadcast usually on Thursdays at 7 p.m. or shortly after we get the audio working.
Right. You know, and if you're here at 7, you know, you probably want to go and show up at around 5, you know, if you want to hang out and be one of the cool people.
That's true.
Or if you want to be the really cool people.
You can talk to people.
Yeah, you know, and if you want to be really cool people, you just don't leave. You know, you just kind of move in, and then, you know...
You live there and order pizza.
That's right. And then slowly, you know, the floor gives way, and you wind up in the basement, and, you know, you're strangely cool with that, and, you know, because it's a lot... no one comes over when they think the house is abandoned.
That's right.
You know, so
and then when your heart gives up, they get the flatbed truck to take you to the hospital.
Well, this is what we try to avoid with series like Patrol. You know, that's why we do that stuff.
That's true. That's the flip side of things.
It is. You got some season 2 stuff going on.
Yes, big news. I'm finished editing all of the season 2 bonus material for the DVD, which encompasses 2.5 hours of bonus material.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the series is 6.5 hours long, and there's 2.5 hours of bonus material, and it is funny stuff.
Really? I'm sure I probably wouldn't think it's that funny. I'm pretty sure.
No,
I'd...
you'd probably close your eyes and plug your ears and run into another
screen. I'm just not going to watch it. I mean, you can't even listen to a show with you on it. You imagine what kind of a nightmare it is for me.
I do make appearances in the bonus material. And,
oh.
You tell a story about Jib Cat, too, which is kind of funny. He's in the crowd tonight, Second Life.
Right. And, well, I suppose that's okay. That's okay. But patrolling season two. But the thing is, though, now, wait now, because we just had the 10-year anniversary, which was stellar, right?
Yes.
That was just incredible. And so up until that point, we've been working nonstop because you actually showed a film there. This is all work you've done since the 10-year anniversary. So essentially since New Year's.
Yeah, two weeks ago. Yeah. So, this is what I've been working on, the Season 2 DVD, getting it ready for release. We're going to re-release Season 1 and Season 2 at the same time, give them new covers so they match, make them all nice and pretty. Yeah, nice. It'd be lots of fun.
Well, way to bust your ass. So you got a date on that, you know, when that's going to be coming out or what?
Oh, it's pretty tough. We still have to do the cover shoot for it and also some commentary for Season 2, and that's pretty much it, really. I mean, all the segments are done. I just have to do the easy parts I have to do the menu, too, but that's pretty easy.
So.
And then it's done. I would say very, very shortly. I have to ship it off to the people who manufacture it as well, which is, like, just down the street. I'd say at least within two months. That's on the outside.
What are you saying?
2 months on the outside.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably pretty good.
A big outside, big outside.
Yeah, we could probably get her done a little bit faster than that. But, I mean, you know, we could get her. I think 2 months sounds like a lot. I mean, you've edited the thing in 2 weeks. We're moving ahead on this. I mean, we got plans. I think we can get her done faster. But
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that's sweet. That's sweet. And that's going to be available for free for people to download.
No.
No.
The DVD? A DVD, Sean. It's a physical piece of media. You can't download that.
Season
2's been out forever.
Okay. So
yeah, this is the bonus material that's going on the DVD, which is being put into a package, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, that's going to be stellar.
Yep.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So if we can get
this is going on dual layers. We're getting it professionally done on dual layer DVDs.
Oh, so this is you had to remaster all that shit. What did you do for how clear is this? Like, so you've got the sexy television and everything.
Yeah, because I've gone back to the source material, redumped it down from the DV tapes, and re-encoding it so it's a higher bit rate for the new dual layer DVD set. So even people who missed on Season 1 DVDs, it's going to be out again because it was very limited release, the first run of it.
Right.
And you'll be able to grab it again on even a higher bitrate this time.
Well, that'll be cool. So you can watch me in all my hideous wonder. So awesome. Do we know what the ballpark price on that's going to be?
No idea right now. I'm gonna have to check all the costs and
millions of dollars. I think they should be $50 each. You know, each one, each individual.
We may sell one set. That's right. So it's a two. Each one is a two DVD set.
Oh, well, that'll be all right. All right. Well, I got some feedback here. I got a little bit of feedback coming in. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on that, or are you pretty good? You think?
No, that's good. Go for it.
And, incidentally, it's a new year, and with Sim co-hosting the show, there's going to be some changes to the show, and so in the way the show is going to be kind of run. Rather than me just screaming at you and maintaining a pace, it's a lot more of a conversation show. The strength of the show, of Sim and I working together, is it's a talk show. And you'll notice that the last couple of shows as well, they haven't been an hour long. They've been longer than an hour, so hence not an hour long. So I'm thinking most people are downloading the show anyway. Most people don't mind if the shows go a little bit more than an hour. You know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, so I think that if we want to, you know, shill some of our stuff every now and again in hopes that I can buy a heater for my nice little shop, that would be wonderful.
Keep Sean warm.
That's right.
By buying our DVDs.
Otherwise, I'm going to die. So I got some feedback here. Hey, Sean. I got an idea while listening to the What the Hell Show archives. You know, that's always bad. That's just, you know, not how you start a conversation. I got this idea.
Never fall asleep to those.
Yeah, bad idea. During one show, you spoke out of a strange Roman artifacts in the Grand Canyon. Egyptian artifacts in the Grand Canyon. Going to say it's not impossible to find these places. But it was like a 6-day hike. My dad and I are both avid hikers. We were wondering if you, Sim, or anyone else from Rant Media would be interested in taking part of the 6-day investigating paranormal activities hike, and possibly record it on video. The long weekend in August, my dad and I will be doing a three-day hike on Mount Robson. Would you be interested in participating in the six-day hike that would take place next summer? Or a three-day hike to see what the backpacking is all about? Let me know at his email address. Hope this may spark some interest in you. Thanks for reading this, Sean. I got that, and I loved it. I loved it. Great piece of... Do you want to go hiking, Sim? The problem with the...
Sure, let's do it.
No, we can't. The reason why...
Oh.
...is because it's a no-fly zone, and the area is patrolled with Black Hawk helicopters.
And, so, we're not flying, we're hiking.
No, you can't hike there. This is, like, the Grand Canyon Death Valley. Okay, so, like, take the worst parts of Vegas parking lot, and that's what you're hiking in. Okay.
So we'll bring some water. We'll be good, right? We went to Burning Man.
We did go to Burning Man, but Burning Man was on a flat surface. This is there is nothing flat in the Grand Canyon. It's either wall or air. Those are your two surfaces, and you can't stand on wall, and you can't stand on air. So, and it's sharp wall, too. It's not like nice wall. It's shitty, sharp, broken shale, cut yourself all to shit wall.
So it's a bit more than a hike. It's more like a scale down the sheer cliff to get to these caves.
It's more like a dear sweet Lord, grant me the sweet release of death kind of hike. It's not even like, you know, it's ridiculous. You can't really hike there. You're more apt, like there's no way you'd have to chopper extract people in and out of there. It's really, really hard to get to. But apparently though, you can, if you get to the rest area, which you could drive to, and you bust out a set of binos, you can actually see the entrances to some of the caves.
Not too bad.
Yeah, this guy went out there and he found it and he did all this research on, sacred geometry, and it proves it and all this kind of stuff. It's really great. So I'm thinking, you know, whatever. But it's a cool idea. And I'd like to do some more paranormal investigation. You know, if you don't, like, what the hell? What the hell are you doing with your time if you're not out there trying to find the dark gods that created the universe? You know, or not. If you're Sim. But, you know.
Or disproving it by not finding them.
Yeah, so I enjoyed that. That was, that story, I'm just finally getting to some of my old email and stuff like that. And I'm just going through it, processing stuff. And I come across some of these great jewels that people have sent in. And I just can't, you know, I got to do something with them because it's just fantastic. But anyway.
Oh, I know, Meph, that not finding does not equal disproving.
Yes.
Don't worry about that. I was just making a joke.
Let's try to take on the news a little bit here. In pirate news. Now, this was sent to me by Apex. Ung Pirate, or Young Pirate, is a youth organization associated with the Swedish Pirate Party. Yesterday was a big day for the group. Over 1 million Swedish krona, approximately 121,000 euros, or pounds. Is that a pound symbol? Euros is a little squiggly thing.
That's a euro.
Is that a euro? And over 161 million US from the National Board of Youth Affairs. So actually, the National Board of Youth Affairs have actually given these guys over $1.3 million. $161,000. I like the 1.3 million Swedish krona. Corona? Or krona? It'd be better if it was
beers.
Corona.
They're being paid in beer.
We've given these children over 1 million beers. And they're part of the new Swedish party. I would be afraid of the Swedish party. We have taken together all of the dome children and we fed them corona. And they have made bombs.
They are well
sauced. Yeah, it's ridiculous. The amount is based on a membership count of around 1,280 members, but with current membership around 4,872, next year's amount should be even greater. The National Board of Youth Affairs, Ungstrom Stilson, awards money to organizations in order to ensure they have access to influence to promote the next generation of politicians. Indeed, possibly the current generation. At least two of the board members of Ung Pirate are listed on the candidates in June's EU elections. Not everyone has been pleased about the government funding, though. With the IFPI chief among, the IFPI's Swedish director, Lars Gunstafsson, wasn't happy at all, saying it is surprising, using pirate works and principles to encourage something illegal. That they receive money from a state institution is remarkable. This, of course, is the same Gustafsson who last year urged ISPs to spy on its customers, which, of course, is completely illegal. Not that hypocrisy from the IFPI is anything new. The board dismissed the complaints, though, with the Director General Per Nielsen saying, "It is our understanding that they want to change the legislation around copyright issues, and that is an opinion they are entitled to." Up Up, which is, I guess, the name of the organization, is Up. Up, at just 2 years old, has seen a fantastic growth rate. Well, no kidding. You have a political party called the Pirate Party. I mean, who's not going to join that?
It's just now the by name alone.
Yeah, exactly. It's now the third biggest political youth organization in Sweden. Behind those moderate... Jeez, we got to be huge in Sweden. They got to be loving us over there. We got to learn, like, Swiss. And moderate and social democratic parties ahead of the Christian Democrats, all parties with representatives in the Swedish parliament. Per Nielsen recognized this as well, saying it is positive that an organization in short time has managed to build a large nationwide activities on issues involving many young people. With this money and constantly growing support, it's quite likely that in the next election, the Pirate Party will be voted into parliament. Dun, dun, dun! The growth of the young pirates in Sweden.
Wow.
This is just a great line. This is a quote. The growth of the young pirates in Sweden heralds the coming of a new dimension of European politics. End quote. Young pirates Matthias Bjarnedorten told Tornfreak, the communication revolution has made the life of the younger generation into something altogether different from how their parents grew up, and that culture will alter to their very cores today's political landscape. We wish them all the best, of course. Well, yeah. You know, kind of a good idea to have a pirate party, I think. I mean, that's pretty cyberpunk, really. You know, when you come across stories like that, it kind of gives you a little bit of hope. But have you noticed, Tim, that most of the good guys, i.e., you know, the Vegans of the world, are like super, super non-violent types. And all the bad guys have got like super carriers with Hellfire missiles and tomahawks and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I that's annoying
it's
to me.
It's unfortunate, but
yeah, that's annoying to me. That's not fair. You know, that's not that's.
Well,
not
I tried to make some weapons out of hemp, but they just fell apart in the rain.
No hemp weapons, hempons, hempons. We'll throw used hempons at them.
Hempons.
Hempons. Yes, the new vegan weapon, hempons. They were really effective, but they weighed too much. Oh, well, you know, I guess it bothers me, though, you know, because you don't want to go extolling violence. But sometimes, you know, you get so frustrated seeing everything that's going on, and you just want, you get so mad that you can look at Paul Watson and say, yeah, you know, I support that guy, you know.
Well, it sounds like this pirate party is having some influence and doing it the right way, right?
Well, exactly. And that's my point, is that, you know, I'd rather see, we should look up if we can, you know, somehow be involved with those guys. You know, maybe, hey, this might be an idea. Sometimes some crazy stuff like that happens. You know, we phone them up and be like, yeah, we want to support the Pirate Party. Do you have, like, a foreign membership? We could be part of the Foreign Legion of the Swedish Pirate Party. I mean, that'd be sweet. You know, why not? I want to be the Swedish Pirate Party Foreign Legion. Yeah, legions.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you make an acronym and stuff. It'll be awesome. Yeah, you could totally, like, just get some good Swiss stuff on the go. And I don't even know what the Swiss flag looks like. Do you know what the Swiss flag looks
like? It's red and white and has a cross in the middle.
Oh!
I believe.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. White field with a red cross.
A piece of cheese on there, isn't there? No?
We are losing our Swedish listeners as Sean speaks.
But
every time he launches into the Swedish chef.
Oh, did they all leave? Did they get mad at me? Oh.
No.
Anyway...
They're all asleep. Probably they can't come live and listen to this.
Well, that's why I'm making fun of them, right? Because if they were here live, you bet next show now, there's going to be like 200 Swiss people in. They'll all be like, you know, have these red-eyed avatars, and they'll be like, ah!
We're pissed and tired.
Exactly. Yar, bork, bork, bork. But you got to love them. You know, who doesn't love the Swiss, really? Okay, well, How about this one here? In Cyborg News, this was sent in by JR. Who sent me in the last one? That was Apex. And Cyborg News, which was sent in by J.R. Evan Reynolds has been given a new lease on life by the fully functional artificial replacement. Have you seen this thing, by the way? This is amazing.
No, I haven't.
Did anybody get the last news for the Gargoyle Races? We totally forgot the Gargoyle Races.
That's right.
All right, well, okay.
Anybody grab the link? Try it on this one. Go.
No. The way the Gargoyle Races work is I start reading the story. So I'll give you a headline. It starts when I go, in Cyborg News, right? That's the line. and then I'll begin reading the story. People, because I'm reading it, copy and paste it from the original article. So if they take a snippet of the sentence of, like, say, Evan Reynolds has been given a new lease on life, right? And then throw that in Google, they'll find the article. So it's a matter
of taking the time,
right? They find the article. They have to type it, hit on whatever search utility you want, get the URL, post it back inside the chat program, and then it's timed. And you have the original URL, so you know which ones the stories are, because there could be a similar story, but it's not the exact one that I'm reading. You know what I mean? So, and your outline is 10 seconds. You know what
there
I mean?
There we go. Kobach got it.
Yeah. So, but this is it, right? So that's the whole idea of it. And we'll see if anyone gets it. So you can, so maybe, Sam, if you do like a marker for the chat, you just hit like a button and say story one or story two or whatever news or whatever, so that they have a start point on the chat logs. I mean, that's, what the hell, it makes it more fun. There's people right now who are so mad. There are people right now listening to this who are furious. Did you know that?
Why is that?
Oh, they're mad. Oh, yeah. No, there's people right now. Oh, yeah. No. I'm here to tell you. I promise.
Besides the Swedes?
No. Oh, yeah. Especially not the Swedes. Swedes are pretty laid back. I'm saying, no, there's people right now who are like, this is crap. What is going on? I'm here to get Sean yelling news at me for 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, that's totally what it's about. And I'm sorry. There's been some changes. You know? There's been some changes to the show. I much enjoyed the show, doing the show like this, to be honest with you. Really, it's. I think it's a better show. I think it passes the time, and you know, you're not going to give yourself a heart attack if you have listened to 15 or 20 newsreel episodes back to back, which is just ridiculous. You know,
that's true. And they've had 400 shows plus with just you, and you know, it's time to change it up a little bit.
You know, I'm sure that there's people. You know, what do they call that? The death pool. You know, where they bet on celebrities that are going to die. You
that's
know?
Very true.
Yeah, and you know who I think is going to outlive everybody. Everybody is Hank. Henry fucking Rollins is going to bury the lot of them. You know, I've gained so much.
Oh, yeah.
I have gained so much respect for that man. Holy shit. I listen to some
of the stuff. He just won't notice when he's dead. He just keeps going. He doesn't stop.
He absolutely will not stop until you are dead. He is the fucking entertainment Terminator. That's who Jay should cast as a Terminator, man, in the next film. Like, seriously. Get Henry Rollins in there. That guy is just the toughest son of a bitch in the history of the world. You know, he will not stop. He sends email to all of his fans. Okay,
all of them.
Like, he works.
Stays up till like three in the morning, emailing his fans back.
He's totally insane. He's totally, totally insane. I promise you, he's totally insane. But anyway, this story here, which I was getting back to, is this cyborg story about this new. This new limb that they came out with, the eye limb. Have you seen this thing, Sam?
No.
Evan Reynolds has been given a new lease on life by the fully functional artificial replacement. The sports biology student at the University of West England in Bristol was the second person in Britain to be fitted with the advanced eye limb hand. And he can, like, catch a ball with it. He can hold an egg. Like, it's pretty sick what this thing can do. Mr. Reynolds, 19, from Housel Mill, Surrey, said it took him only minutes to adapt to the product, which is controlled by electronic muscle signals from the remaining part of the limb. Very Luke Skywalker. The innovation has 5 independently powered digits, which operate like a human hand when closing around an object. Rugby-playing student who has dreamed of joining the army and going to Sandhurst has left his ripped off... had his left hand ripped off as his friend drove him home following a day out. Sitting in the car, tore off his hand, degloved his hand, which is just a shitty way to have that happen. His friend saved his life by applying a tourniquet to stop the bleeding. It was very nasty. It was amputated in a second. Obviously, I couldn't join the army anymore. The eye limb was developed by a Scottish company, Touch Bionics, and has won awards for its innovative technology. The total cost, including the hand itself and the fitting, is about £30,000. Mr. Reynolds' oldest brother, Richard, saw a television report about the eye limb and contacted the manufacturer. The firm is yet working on a prototype at the time, but after a number of tests and meetings with prosthetic specialists, Mr. Reynolds had the eye limb fitted in February last year. He said, "The most amazing thing about it is how quickly I adapted to it. People always ask how it's changed my life, but there's no specific thing. It's hundreds of everyday things you take for granted I can do again, like peeling a potato, or catching a ball, or holding a bottle of water. I'm incredibly grateful." He added, "I'm so sensitive, I can grip a bottle of water or a paper cup without crushing it, and even swing a racket. All I have to do is imagine picking something up or gripping it, and the fingers and thumb move automatically." Mr. Reynolds said his disability has not stopped him from playing sports, his greatest passion, nor has it crushed his spirit. He still plays rugby, but he makes sure to remove the expensive appendage first, because it's only Gen 1, and he doesn't have the MDC or the blades yet. He said, I love sport, and I still play rugby. I still play squash, but I take the eye limb off first. Ha ha ha. Time magazine named the iLimb as one of the top 50 innovations of 2008, and Touch Bionics won the Limbless Association's Prosthetic Product Innovation Award for the 2008 for a product. Hey, thumbs up for war amps! American soldiers injured in action were among those who had been given it. So, very, very cool cybernetic parts, looking very slick. A lot of neat video there of him actually using it, so you want to check that. That's a good positive story! We got pirates in Sweden. You know, and we got Captain Hook can be Captain Skywalker now. You know, because he can get the Skywalker.
We are in the future.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool living in the future. It's kind of cool living in the future. Did you see on the on my LiveJournal site there that dune buggy flying car thing that I posted? Did you see that? That is.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure it's the flying car that we all envision.
No, screw you, hippie. That is a flying car. You wanted a flying car? That is the only flying car I've ever seen. Have you seen another fly? Because it's quite obviously that's what that is. What else
it's
would you
true,
call that?
Yeah.
It's not a plane that kind of looks like a car. It's a fucking dune buggy that has a parasail on it and a giant turbine that flies through the air. It's a flying car.
I don't think it goes up. It does go down, but I don't think it goes up.
No, it goes up. You take off with it.
Really?
Yes, it doesn't. It doesn't drive out of a plane. That's what the big rudder is on the back there. If you look at the back, there's a big fan-looking thing on it. It's got that thing. Yeah. So you're driving along.
I'll have to go look for some video of that.
Yeah, there's video. There's video, but there, I mean, you can think about it. You drive off the cliff. You know that's coming in the next James Bond. He'll drive off the cliff, or he'll get air off some big sand dune, pop the sail, and it'll be da-na-na-na-na-na, and off he goes. You know, you'll be loving it. You'll be like, oh, I got to get me one of those. You know, damn. Well, I saw it, and I was just like, you know, Kobach sent me that, and I'm like, oh, hell yes. Oh, hell yes. I want my flying car. Because.
Nice.
Well, Molar, you know. I've got a flying car, you know, the Molar Sky car there.
Nobody else can have it.
Dude, you had a prototype flying car when I had a Commodore 64. Okay, come on. You know, I'm like 35 now. I'm not getting any younger. I need a flying car sometime. I don't want to be, you know, the old guy in the flying Corvette. That's not what I want. You know, I want to look somewhat
cool. He just
cool.
needs a couple, you know, 10 more million dollars of financing, and he'll give it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's gargoyle race this one. This one should be a pretty easy one to go with. In ripoff news, go! CyrusXM hasn't even been one for long, and yet we are already staring at an impending price increase in the face. According to CyrusBuzz, company support representatives are now confirming to the general public that our rate hike will go into effect starting March 11th, 2009. Yes, satellite radio, which you have to subscribe to anyway, is actually going to start charging you more money. Oh, my God. Like, I didn't think they'd start hiking the rates just yet, you know? They're encouraging current subscribers to lock in their current rates for 3 years in order to be grandfathered in. But should you choose not to, you'll likely be paying an extra $2 for additional subscription and a $2.99 for the online radio service. Dun, 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 dun. If there's any good news here, it's that the latter fee will give you access to the also-amazing 128K premium feed, although we're still left in the dark about any future channel expansions stemming from the increase. So, very interesting. If you subscribe to the internet radio world, I guess your pay rates are going up. That's the problem I have with subscription media, right? You know, they can just cut off your access just like that. Boom. You know? And it's all gone.
And they're saying 128K is premium. That's the premium one?
Yeah, that's
you pay for that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's the feed, I guess, because you get it down
from that's like minimum for music. That's like barely scraping the bottom of the barrel for good sounding music. Like you can tell it's the nuances of bad sounds at 128K.
Yeah, that's but I mean, you'd think that if you're the kind of people that would get a Cyrus radio would be pretty serious, you know, Geardos, you know, they'd be pretty serious audio
phones.
You know,
I'd be pissed if I'd be paying for 128. That's for sure. We give it away for free.
Well, you're not an audiophile, though. I mean, you're a videophile, right? But you're not really a hardcore audiophile. Not like, you know, the Afternow DJ is an audiophile. You know, that guy is... No, seriously, like, this guy's what's his online name? Does he have an online name? And he's the Afternow DJ. Okay, he's the guy who did the Afternow DJing when we were when I did it live at the 10-year. And the Afternow DJ...
Oh, yeah.
No,
he doesn't have an online name, as far as...
Yeah, he does. He hasn't got an online name now. He's now the Afternow DJ, trust me.
And, there you go.
Yeah, so that's who he is. But he's like... He understands sound. That's one of the reasons why I really wanted him involved with the Afternow, is because the guy understands sound as a power source, as an atmospheric component. You know, and there's people who get that, who understand the warmth that can come from the right kind of speakers and vacuum tubes and wood and things like that. Like, dudes who really get it, you know. That, if you can have someone like that involved on your team, and you hand it to, and you give your audio to someone like that, the audio they produce, I mean, that's the level I want to go with the new Afternow for season 3. You know, or what season is that then? Because I guess I'm calling it season 3 because it's there was the Darkness Chronicles, right? And that didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, the Witch Hunter Chronicles, and that was not canon. So this will be season 3.
Yes, not canon. Yes, that was how it evolved. But I would like to do something with that too. But I know I've got to do like at least 4 more seasons after now before anybody's even going to listen to anything else. I'd be like, no. But anyway,
that's true. You got to feed the beast.
So $2.99 a month in addition to get this internet radio at 128K, and we're $5 a month voluntary with no increases ever in the history of the world, and you get 4 hours worth of media every month at minimum, 4 hours fresh media a month for a minimum,
right. And archive downloads too.
Oh yeah, get complete access, unmitigated access to everything. And encouragement for recruitment. I mean, you know, just subscribe already. You know, seriously. If I had a cool little wibble wobble that I could sell you for $5 so you could wear it, you know, on your lapel pin and be like, look at my wibble wobble, I'm super cool, and I could get like one chick somewhere to swoon over it and catch it on film, you know, our money troubles would be over with. But we don't. What we have
is... Look at self flying monkey wrist bracelets or something.
I'd rather have small robotic flying monkeys, to be honest with you.
Hey, there you go.
Like little demonic familiars that you know, you subscribe and you get one of those things. That would be...
Well, they have those flying, you know, like dragonflies and things they sell in the malls and stuff. You know, throw them in the air, they go...
No, I'm actually talking to somebody that could hurt somebody. You know, I'm talking like, you know, somebody that tries to take your wallet and your robotic monkey kicks his ass, you know, in a really hideous way.
Oh, like the hovering machine gun that I saw the video of recently.
Yes, yes, the totally illegal war crime remote control UAV. Yeah, that thing is, that's just, you know.
Outfit that with some monkey fur and some wings.
I've oftentimes wondered about that. Like, why don't they do that? You know, with these planes and stuff. Like, if I was making, I'd love robots. You know, I really do. And I'm all about the crazy witch doctor kind of stuff. I really am. So I'd love to make, like, some androids and just let them go for pranks, you know. Like, you make some big, crazy-looking, you know, spidery thing and let it go to daycare, you know, and get it on tape. You know, it's not going to hurt anybody. It just looks like a giant spider walking around chasing children. Sure, you know, you got a few kids joining the circus afterwards. But, you know, generally, you know, you at least get 20, 30, 40 seconds worth of really funny footage out of that, you know. If we did it in Montreal, we'd be okay. We'd put it on just for laughs, because some of the stuff they do on there is not quite that nuts. But it's, you know, that's all we're doing. We're just scaring some kids. That's all we're doing. Nobody's going to die.
All.
You know, no lasting damage. But this is a terrible segue into this next story about the Nazi angel
indeed.
Of death. Yeah, no, this guy, Joseph Mengele, the probably one of the greatest Class A pieces of shit to ever walk the earth. This guy here, you know, that's where I got the name in the Bloodstained Rabbit. The name that Dr. Hans Verrucht hid under was Helmut Gregor. And Helmut Gregor was the assumed name of Joseph Mengele. That was one of his aliases. So, yeah, it's all ties in together. And what this guy did, I always, anytime I get a chance to talk about Nazi war criminals, I do it. Because not a lot of people, you'd be surprised amount of people that don't know shit about the Second World War. And they won't admit it, because they'll be like, oh yeah, I know everything about the Second World War. I can't believe people don't know anything about the Second World War. Oh my God. You know, and then they don't really know what the hell's going on with the Second World War. Joseph Mengele was the only guy who could stand at the point of the line in Auschwitz sober and, like, decide what people were going to the gas chambers and which people were not. And he was constantly going after twins. His big thing was twins. He wanted to create the master race. This guy is, like, your classic Nazi mad scientist piece of shit. The thing that gets me is that he escaped into Argentina, and apparently his death was, he was walking in the surf and he fell. He collapsed, and when they pulled him out of the surf, he was dead. And it made me really, really angry that a guy who's that kind of cosmically piece of shit dies one day walking on a beach in Argentina when he's an old man. You know, you'd kind of hope that a dude like that would, you know, be fed to the Cenobites. You know, seriously, like there's no fate that would be horrible enough for this individual. So it was really upsetting to me when I found out how beautifully this guy died. I mean, I should be so lucky as to die that way. You know,
yeah,
really.
No kidding, eh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it made me absolutely nuts. So I wanted to do a story about the 9 to 12 seconds between when he fell into the surf and they pulled him out. You know, I thought that'd be a great little segue.
Good short story, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a good short story. I might crank one of those out sometime, talking about all the experiments and the darkness of the water and the swirling Kermits and the things with tentacles who can reach up into the drops. But anyway, in Nazi madness news, the steely-hearted Angel of Death, whose mission was to create the master race fit for the Third Reich, was a resident medic at Auschwitz from May 1943 until his flight in the face of the Red Army advance in January 1945. His task was to carry out experiments to discover by what method the genetic quirk twins were produced, and then to artificially increase the Aryan birth rate for his master, Adolf Hitler. Now, a historian claims Mengele's notorious experiences may have borne fruit. For years, scientists have failed to discover why as many as 1 in 5 pregnancies in a small Brazilian town have resulted in twins, most of them blonde-haired and blue-eyed. But residents of the Candido Godi now claim that Mengele made repeated visits there in the early 1960s, posing at first as a vet, but then offering medical treatment to the women of the town. Shuttling between Argentina, Paraguay, and Brazil, he managed to evade justice before his death in 1979, but his dreams of a Nazi master race appeared unfulfilled. In the new book, Mengele, Angel of Death in South America, the Argentine historian, George Camaza, a specialist in the post-war Nazi flight to South America, has painstakingly pieced together the Nazi doctor's mysterious later years. After speaking to the townspeople of Candio Godi, he's convinced that Mengele continued his genetic experiments with twins with startling results. He reveals now, after working with cattle farmers in Argentina to increase their stock, Mengele fled the country to follow after fellow Nazi Adolf Eichmann was kidnapped by Israeli agents. He claims that Mengele found refuge in the German enclave of Colonias Unidas, Paraguay, and from here, in 1963, began to make regular trips to another predominantly German community just over the border in Brazil, the farming community of Candido Godi. And, Mr. Camaras claims, it was here that soon after the birth rate of twins began to spiral. I think Candido Godi may have been Mengele's laboratory, where he finally managed to fulfill his dream of creating a master race of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryans, he said. There is testimony that he attended women, followed their pregnancies, treated them new types of drugs and prescriptions, and that he talked of artificial insemination in human beings, and that he continued working with animals, complaining he was capable of getting cows to produce male twins. The urban German, who arrived in Candido Godi, was remembered with fondness by many of the townspeople. Yeah, apparently, the guy used to sing and play a violin. And
wonderfully entertaining man.
Well, I've got a DVD that shows the occult history of the Third Reich, and they have a recording of Joseph Mengele singing on it. You know,
really?
Yeah, he made a wax recording of it. You can actually hear this, and then you read accounts of the kind of stuff that this guy did, and that was the basis of the character of Hans Verrucht. you know, from Bloodstained was this guy. He was the greatest of the monsters. I mean, well, he was a very well known monster, but then there's other monsters like the Ustashi and stuff like that that were never really persecuted for their war crimes, and just, you know, and far beyond the pale. Like, we're talking not like, you know, soldiers, you know, shooting people in a doorway that are civilians. I'm talking like, you know, they're rounding people up in rape camps and shit like that. Like, really messed up stuff that goes on. And that's why, you know, war is really, really bad. So, on that note, kind of keeping this thing on the up and up, Obama's not taking any shit, eh? Like, he's laying the smackdown. Yeah, that's closed. Guantanamo's closed. Nobody's torturing anybody anymore. Nobody's doing shit. Open the windows. I want everybody to see what's going on right now. You know, seriously, there are some harpies in Washington that are just screaming, "Witch hunter! Witch hunter!" And they're running like smelly apes, man. I swear to God. You know,
he's like, the party is over.
Yeah, like, oh shit, dad's home, you know? And even Newt Gingrich came out and was all like, well, you got to give it to the guy. You know, 6 years ago, he wouldn't even be able to eat in the same restaurant, you know? And he's easily the most charismatic dude since Kennedy, you know? So it's...
Oh, yeah. He's actually interesting to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, I get worked up listening to the guy, which is weird because I'm such a cynical bastard, you know? So it's...
He's a very powerful speaker.
I think he's a vampire. I think he's a vampire. Honestly, come on. If he was a vampire, you know, the thing is, though, is that he's like, he's able to walk around in the daytime, right?
He's a daywalker. He's using his charm spell on all of us.
Well, you got to think, if you were a daywalker vampire, you know, the fabled daywalker, you know, who had all these abilities, you know, to just bewitch people and stuff like that, you know, what position would you want to be in?
That's the one, really.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, maybe he's Blade. He could be Blade. He could be, like, the Daywalker. We need to get some Photoshop Blade Obama action on there. It's not Barack Obama. It's Blade Obama. And he's out
there, right.
You know, and I could totally see that. Do, like, 5 cartwheels, cut 3 vampires down, and be like, Rocket Balls! And just, like, land the smackdown, man. That's Yeah, I think Blade Obama is where it's at, man. Yeah, Blade Hussein Obama. I like it. Anyway,
it works. Yep.
Well, you know, it's. I'm pretty. He's living. He's doing stuff. He's doing stuff. You know, I don't know what he's doing. Well, we'll see how it goes in another 3-4 months. But he's definitely. You know, he doesn't have to keep showing off. He won the game, right? High fives all around.
Yeah.
He could pretty much be like, you know, I can do whatever I like. You know, seriously. So for him to be all doing this stuff, I mean, it says good things. Oh my God. You know, he shut down Gitmo, yeah, so what do you want?
Good start.
There's something else, though, that's coming up here, Sam, and this is something that I've been talking about for a while. Did you know that they found the head, the chief of police of Mexico, they found his head in an ice box?
Really?
Yeah,
what
Commissioner
was he doing
Gordon there in Mexico, yeah, he got his head cut off and put it in an ice box.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's getting really, really ugly. And this is why I've been talking about this for a while along the southern border, that there's a hot war going on with Mexico right now. And what I've been prophesizing about for a while on the show here, saying they're going to bring them back from Iraq and they're going to put them on the border, that's what's happening. So listen to this little story here. In closer desert war news, gargoyles, go! A full-scale civil war is underway in Mexico, period. The Mexican president Felipe Calderon and the powerful drug cartels that operate unmolested throughout Mexico are locked in a battle over control of the country, with tens of thousands of Mexican army fully developed and often fighting Zetas. Now, that's what they're called, Zetas. They're ex-Mexican army special forces guys that are trained in the U.S. and who are now working for drug cartels.
Wow,
so,
never heard that name before.
Neither have I. But they're called Zetas, okay? The Mexican government has not been able to curtail the ongoing gruesome and erupting new violence and confrontations between the two warring parties throughout Mexico. This relentless fighting, with casualties on both sides, is, in truth and scope, a civil war. Mexico tries to hide the fact, and the United States is apparently in total denial.
You never, ever hear about this.
No.
Ever.
No, but to date, 7,000 Mexicans have died in this war, all attributed to the government versus the rich and powerful Mexican drug cartels. During 2008, Mexico's violent deaths broke historic records, raising the death toll in 1 year to 5,630 execution-style murders, beating out last year's all-time record. Okay? In 2008, more people lost their lives in Mexico due to violence than were lost in the war-torn countries of Iraq and Afghanistan combined. Okay?
Wow.
Were it not for the fact that the cartels were also frequently at war with one another, they might have won the war by now and now be in complete control of Mexico. Execution-style murders, beheadings, dismemberings, and kidnappings are common in every state in Mexico on a daily basis. Gun battles are frequent events in Mexico City and in Mexican towns all along the border. On January 5th, the body of Jose Ivan Vasquez Lopez, 43, was found in a trash drum with his head cut off. On January 7th, the body of Ricardo Arturo Alvarez Contreras, 45, was found dead in a vacant lot with both of his hands chopped off. Mexican border town officials have crossed into the U.S. seeking asylum, fearing for their lives. Now, after a third factor is reporting being getting into Mexico's civil war, as the Mexican border towns are void of tourists, Mexican citizens are getting fed up with not having any business. It's making very difficult to survive and make ends meet, said Jose Lopez, a shopkeeper who had normally been a busy typical Mexican border town, and we, the people, are done with the fear and the bloody killings on our streets. A group calling itself the Juarez Citizens Command is threatening to strike back against lawlessness that has gripped the city for a long time, and they say they're striking back by killing one criminal a day until order and peace is restored. That'll help.
Wow.
Yeah, we are going to kill one criminal a day until peace is restored. A potential rise in vigilante justice. A potential rise? Potentially. What are you, killing one every 2 days now? A potential rise in vigilante justice in Juarez is expected by some experts to spread throughout Mexico and would raise the stakes and escalate an already dangerous and bloody civil war. I think they should put them on spikes and stuff. The city's police and the Mexican army together have not been able to stop the plague of killings, beheadings, or the extortion targeting business owners, teachers, medical professionals, or the carjackings, or the kidnappings, or the robbery, or other crime. Which, that's a pretty good hockey sock, but there's other crime as well. Last year, more than 1,600 people were slain in Juarez alone. So, safety travel advisory for all the WOGs out there. Stay the fuck out of Mexico. Better the death of a bad person than a bad person continuing contaminating our region. Let me read that again. Better the death of a bad person than that bad person continue contaminating our region. The group
contamination.
That's a dangerous phrase. The group named
wow.
Comando Cuadre por Juarez, or CCG in Spanish, stated in a news release spread through the internet. There's a call for the public to remain calm, says Andres Unruh, Juarez representative to the Chihuahua. Is that right? To the Chihuahua.
Yeah,
State
there's a
Congress.
Place called Chihuahua. Yeah.
Chihuahua. Anyway, you know, it's I've never been to Mexico, and so, you know, I don't know, but I think it's funny that it's called Chihuahua. You know, I'm sorry. There's a call from the public to remain calm, says Andres Andio, a Juarez representative in the Chihuahua State Congress. You know, from now on, I keep thinking of that stupid movie with the dude, you know, with the Chihuahuas. And now everybody involved in this, I've got, like, little Chihuahuas tied up with their little paws cut off. They're finding Chihuahuas with their heads cut off. Oh, no, think of the Chihuanity. In anger, this could start an uncontrollable wave of unjust deaths, Andrew said in a statement.
Of Chihuahuas.
Of Chihuahuas. In statement condemning vigilantism and urging authorities to do more to stop the violence. Movements of this nature are directed by more of a sense of vengeance than of justice. And the vengeance of the Chihuahua is something to be taken seriously. The El Paso Times reported that Howard Campbell, an anthropology professor at the University of Texas at El Paso, stated, "What vigilantism says is people do not think the government can fix the violence. You have to remember, there is the whole history. The killing of women and the drug killings, the common person feels like there is no one to protect them. These guys need Batman. That's what they need. Like, seriously. They need to. They need
right.
some. They need some help. Okay,
when get Christian Bale down there on pronto.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you know, maybe we should you know, send some guys down there. You know, we got these
Delta
Force.
They said no vigilante justice. They don't want it.
What?
Well, they said they don't want any vigilante justice.
Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not saying vigilante justice. I'm saying we get some good, you know, government-sanctioned justice. You know, you go get some Delta Force guys and a couple of helicopters, maybe a few battalions of Rangers, and down you go. You know, they know where these drug guys are. Just go in there and get them, you know?
Clean them out.
Yeah, you know. get Sam Fisher in there, you know, and he could just Sam Fisher him out of there. You know, he'd be like, drug cartels would be like, I ain't your ass. You know, gone. Yeah, they're just out of there, you know. And you pick up the body and carry on and use your little camera to look under the doors. You could probably, well, you know, seriously. Well, in Rainbow Six 2, that's all it was. I mean, you look at the video games, and the way the video games are going, it's like, yeah, let's pretend there's drug cartels in Mexico.
Everywhere.
That's what Rainbow Six Vegas was all about, man.
Yeah.
Drug cartels in Vegas, and they're doing terrorism and stuff. And, you know, you look at stuff like that, and you get into, like, MS-13, and it gets pretty crazy, you know, when you see that. And so you've got, like, the scary government on one side. But speaking of scary government, you know what the rest of the scary government... We're happy now, right?
Who's happy?
Well, we're happy because we got Obama, right? We got...
Yes, we got, everybody's celebrating.
We got Blade running the show over there, right? So he's kicking ass. Right?
Cleaning up, kicking ass.
Yeah, yep. Blade's not fucking around. So that's cool, right? So we're like, yes! Yes! He's got his sunglasses on, he's rocking the bells, rocking balls for everyone, right? But remember, there's the rest of the world, which is kind of in a shit show right now, where the agents of Ryla have got their influence, right? So we've got in Danish Depression News. Now, this is a great story, because this was sent to me by a Danish guy, okay? And he sent me a link. He translated it for me, but he sent me the link, and the link is also in Danish. So if you go there, it's in Danish. But it's Danish news, and I didn't know anything about this, so I'm going to give this a go here. This Christmas, the Copenhagen City Council rejoiced in celebrating of a new digital Copenhagen map. All mobile phones are now visible on a digital map using triangulation technology to track the whereabouts of every phone in the greater Copenhagen area. The system is still being tested by the Danish Secret Service, PET, but have been triangulating cell phones for many years. Welcome to wonderful Copenhagen. The Great Danish Depression moves within new designs for mass deception. September 2007, the Bush-friendly conservative government of Denmark ruled by the law that all internet, email, and telephone activity should be logged for anti-terror purposes. This is back in 2007. This year, the Danish government celebrates a new age of censorship by blocking the PirateBay.org from all major DNS servers. So Pirate Bay is...
Oh, no, not the DNS. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's terrible. So January 20th, TDC, the biggest telecom internet provider in Denmark, blocked the website PirateBay.org from all access. This act of censorship is the latest development since the Danish court on the 26th November 2008 ruled that Tele2, another major telecom provider, to block access to the site piratebay.org. So they're taking this stuff pretty seriously over there.
I didn't know the Danes had it that bad. That's pretty brutal Big Brother going on there.
Well, considering
That's worse than Britain. I've never heard of the Britain news tracking the cell phones this on a map.
The Aussies almost got it as bad. Maybe a little bit worse. Yeah, boss.
Yeah, for internet censorship, the Aussies have it really bad.
Oh yeah, and the whole thing is you know, think of the children, right? It's the children, Sim. It's the children. My God, what if the children tune into the show and they hear Sean talking about crazy ideas?
You know. It is the government's job to raise your children, right?
Oh, well, they're not your children, really. You know, really, they're not. I mean, you wouldn't have children.
They're just on loan to you. I mean, you're there to feed them and clothe them.
Well, they don't belong to anyone, Sim. They don't belong. They're their own beings. They can choose what they want, Sim. See, that's how they're going to do it. They're going to kill you with the ACLU, right? See, that's the best part. Is they're going to be like, oh, yeah, no, they're a sentient being, right? This is what all the relative morality is. This is what the pedophiles, that's how they want to run. Oh, yeah, no, children aren't to be protected. Children are to be respected. You betcha. They can make choices on their own, you know? So he who has the greatest fishing lure is therefore, you know, the person who's right in the child's eyes. And this is how they tried to argue it. This was the moral relativism when it was applied by organizations like NAMBLA and stuff like that. This was their logic. This is how they approached that, which is so despicably vile, that it makes me call in fire support. Like, it's just, I'm like, can I just kill everything? You know, really. It's just unbelievable when people start thinking like that. But that's how it is. So they kind of use it, they twist it and stuff like that. But yeah, so sorry, just get on the my standard once per show anti-pedophile. But
hates them.
Oh, I hates them. Yeah, you know, like I would totally do the Captain Ahab. If my chest were a cannon, I would shoot my heart at thee if it would save one child from that. Yeah, totally. I would fucking all the way. Yeah, you betcha. Strapping on my vest, going to the NAMBLA convention, you know? But, no.
Gonna have a good time.
Yeah, I wouldn't actually have a vest. I mean, I'd probably just build a school bus that has, like, a really good dispersal pattern on the side, you know, and then I just, you know, go away, you know, to, like, another area or something, you know? So that, because if I die doing it, I can't get any more pedophiles, can I, right? You know, if you kill...
That's right. That would be counterproductive. Unless, there are no 72 virgins in heaven.
That's right. That's right. So it's like, for my... the thing, because I'm not into suicide, it's like Pokemon, you know? You got to get them all. So it's the idea. In Robot, but what, you know, why do this when you have to be... Why don't you do this? You know, a nice segue. Why don't we automate that? You know, let's get into some robot takeover. This story, it's hard sometimes because I'll get like these pictures and stuff like that I'll get off the web and I'll be like, oh, that's the next newsreel. You know, that's the next newsreel for sure. Okay. But yeah. Like this photo here, I think is the one. Okay. Gargoyle Race, go! In robot takeover news, Japanese companies today unveiled a security robot that can be operated remotely by mobile phone and launch a net to capture an intruder. Now, this is a great picture because it's this guy.
Wow.
There's this guy in this cat suit, and there's this thing that looks like this little, like, four, like, me, kind of like rover thing from Doctor Who. And he's like, meh, it's got
suit?
Me. Yeah, it's really bad. It's like Canine from Doctor Who caught Kato from Inspector Clouseau. It's just a ridiculous picture. You know, the prototype T-34, jointly developed by the robot developer Tmusk and a security company, Alicom, looks like a small wheeled vehicle is loaded with sensors that detect anything untoward in an office building. Anything untoward. Spirits, demons, my Uncle Heshi, you name it. If it's in there, it's gotta go. It can move at a maximum speed of 10 kilometers an hour under the command of a person who seals real-time images everywhere the robot on the screen of his cell phone. And yes, when death comes for you, it comes squeaking along at 10 kilometers an hour, provided there's no stairs or pencils to block its path. It can move security sensors, often set off false alarms. But examining the location of the robot will lead to more efficient operations, the company said. Right now, the default position is, if the alarm goes off, the silly string net launcher goes fucking insane and just carpets everything in the office. People get glued to the floor, man! Nobody is moving! You know, it'd be like...
No overtime here.
Yeah, you know, boom, you're down, you know, and then the robots got you. See, now, the thing is...
I was just finishing my project.
I got to start building robots, man. I've got the Make subscription and everything. I got the shop. I got a bunch of scuba gear. You know, seriously, I don't know how scuba gear and robots relate, but, you know, they got to go together.
Underwater robots. That's cool.
That's right. Our remotely operated vehicles, man. That's where it's at. So, but, it, like, if I was going to make a security robot, it wouldn't look as sad as that piece of shit. You know, really, I mean, how am I supposed to have some sort of sense of security leaving, you know, something that looks like a mop bucket to, you know, look after my office? You know, I can't get into that. If I leave something there, I want to have something that, like, you know, you hit a button and it, like, suspends itself from the ceiling, like some giant spider, scorpion, scorpiter crazy thing with pinchers and, like, walks on razor blades or something. You're like, snapping at plants and shit. That's what I'd be leaving. You know, if you could sell that. You know, you could.
That robot does not instill fear within me.
That robot couldn't instill anything. That robot can't instill small tracks in your carpet. I mean, that
looks like a small car that a kid would ride on and steer around, you know, the neighborhood.
It looks like a mop bucket. Is what it looks like. It's
it does,
it's the Mark 1 mop bucket. Like, somebody needs can we just get somebody to do some decent design work over there with these people? I mean, my God, can we take some of the engineering away from the engineers and get
some... It needs to be black, it needs to have some spikes, it needs to have some blades.
Well, we got to have some robotic architecture on here. I mean, these robots got to have some kind of presence, you know?
Red sirens on the top, you know,
yeah, Crime
like that.
Buster! That's what we need. We need Crime Buster, man.
Hey, a good name. Better than T-34.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, Crime Buster, do you know what movie that's from? Oh, Crime Buster.
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh.
No, Crime Buster.
Yeah, Crime Buster is a rope. There is a Crime Buster, and that's exactly what he was. So he used to drive around and be going, "It's Crime Buster, I see you, criminal." And he would talk like that. It was fantastic. And,
really?
Yes. I believe it was called Electric Beeps or Heart Beeps, I think it was called. And
never heard of it.
Yeah, no, it's about a bunch of robots that escape together. And I'm trying to remember who was in it. I think the guy who played Lotko was in it. I think.
Is this a like live action?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a live action movie.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a science fiction movie. It's either called Electric Dreams or Heart Bleeps. Might be Heart Bleeps or Heart Beeps.
Was it good?
It was good in 1982. I mean, you know,
when you're 10, right?
Yeah, Short Circuit was a better movie than it was at the time, but
okay.
You know, you totally, you know, it was. I just can't remember. It might be Electric Dreams. No, it's not Electric Dreams.
Batteries not included.
No, it wasn't that. No, I can't remember what the hell it was called.
Oh well.
It's just Crime Buster. EMDB Crime Buster. The name of the robot was the Crime Buster. I tell you that much. That I know for
Crime
sure.
Crime Buster.
Crime Buster. And then afterwards he wound up catching him because at the end of the movie. And he got refurbished and turned into a parking meter. But he's like, they thought they reprogrammed me. And this parking cop's like, I'm still Crime Buster. He was actually the coolest character in the whole thing. Because he's this giant, like, driving car robot that just didn't take any shit. It was rad. but anyway, how about today's daily hack? The Unshredder. This was sent in by Paladin. A really neat piece of kit. Just because you spent an hour shredding important documents doesn't mean those shredded pieces of paper can't be put back together again. The Unshredder, dubbed the first commercial document reconstruction tool in the world, is a computer program capable of reconstructing documents that have been strip-shred and cross-shred, and documents with torn pages. Instead of aligning each little piece to shred by hand, this Windows-based application automates the reassembly of documents through four simple states: correlate, segmentation, reconstruction, and report. The finished result can then be printed, emailed, or copied, used by government agencies, police departments, lawyers, private investigators, and security agents, and anybody with a buck. The Unshredder is available with a monthly license of $90 or a yearly license starting at $950. Kind of interesting stuff. Because if you need to rebuild some documents, you might only need it for a little while. Yeah!
That's very smart. Of course, it would be the job of reassembling this on the scanner would suck. They had thousands of little tiny pieces from a big bin of shredded paper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think Promethean got that.
Heartbeeps. Heartbeeps
heart
is the name
beeps,
of the
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. The Crime Buster. Yeah! Sweetness. That is the sweetness. That's like good. That was the stuff I was like, when did that come out? What year did that come out? That was like, it was early 80s. Maybe even late 70s. 80s, yeah. Should find out when that was. Because I remember I was young watching that. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, that was pretty cool stuff, man. Robots and all that stuff. Neat. But also with your daily hack, because I've been hitting people with the USB tools for a while, right? So 81 is when it came out. There's some really cool stuff here. How to make, also with your daily hack, is how to make a metal detector out of a calculator and a radio in like 20 seconds with some gun tape. It's awesome. That's that's totally going in patrolling season 3. Like, I'm going to do something with that.
Oh, yeah.
How to make a parabolic microphone out of a table lamp, and how to build your own Geiger counter, all of which, you know, you really can't.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't really mess around. Yeah, man. When I managed to get through actually the mail that people send me good stuff. It's just a matter of getting to it, you know what I mean? So it's some sexy kit. And as well...
somebody just said, that is the patrolling store.
Yeah, no kidding. In Recmedia, I've got some interesting manuals here. I got a manual on remote viewing, which is something that you don't believe in. But you know, there's some manuals on it. The CIA believes in it. They put some money into it. So, you know, whatever. And I guess cops use it. So, you know, proof is in the
That's
pudding.
True.
And a massive and a video series on the whole Mayan 2012 thing. If you want to know what the whole Mayan 2012 thing's all about, from like a dude who's an expert, is a 4-video series talking about what the Mayans thought about 2012, what's really happening there, this guy's theory. Which, you know, I would warn you, if you start looking at that stuff, you'll never stop. It just does not go away. And a really cool website, which is sent in by Dex. Thank you very much, Dex. Called sbrword.com. Like, spread the word, but it's sbrword.com. Check it out. Very, very interesting stories. Good place to check some news. It's a very, very good source, essentially. And sometimes you come across these ones because you just, you know, you get sick of checking Slashdot every day. You want to check these ones out. What else do I have here? And Evil Von Scary sent me a really good series of interviews of Daniel Ulston on the Bilderberg Group from the Snowshoe Films. It's a 5-parter, 2 main parts, each part's about 10 minutes long, easy enough to watch if you could spare the time. So, a little bit more information on the Bilderbergers and at the enemies and the... Because, you know, honestly, I kind of like this whole... I'm kind of ballsy because, you know what? First of all, I like Barack Obama. So when I compare the man to Blade, you know, as President of the United States, you got Blade running the show, you know, that's because that's a very positive thing because he's fighting back against these vampires of the Bilderberg Group and these old bunnies and these Rockefeller dudes, you know, with the Georgia Guidestones. Like, are you kidding me? How like vampire masquerade is that? You know, seriously, that's a pretty good... That's not bad.
Definitely.
That's not bad.
Good persona.
You know? And I'm back. Blade's awesome. I mean, go watch the Blade movies again. Those movies rule. Especially when he puts the sunglasses on and smiles. There's that one section in the film, it's like so over the top, where he says, there's worse things out there. And he's like walking along and he like looks at you and it's just, there's music playing and he like smiles and nods his head for no reason. Like, it's no point of that being in the film at all. He's just, you know, like rocking out like... You know, he's going along with it. It's just the sunglasses in the middle of the night with a giant samurai sword. I mean, he's made of, you know, just manic badass. I mean, Blade's where it's at. So, and I think, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And he's definitely got the backing now. You know, he's got, he's going to have some serious Spec Ops guys working for him. So, I just feel really bad for his security detail. That's all I want to say. The poor guy who's in charge of his security is going to, like, his hair turned white on his inauguration, you know? Like, he must have just been pissing blood for weeks. That guy is not going to get any sleep for 8 fucking years, you know? It's really bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to suck for him. But, you know, whatever. But that's all I got for you today. So don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. One of the ways you can make sure you keep the news in the meantime, in between time, though, is make sure you subscribe to the Rant Radio newsletter. And to do that, you just send an email to info@rantradio.com. And make sure you get on the newsletter so you can keep track of all these groovy things other than just coming out with Newsreel. Because, hey, it's only been 2 weeks. We got these DVDs being released. They're going to be hitting the shelves soon, and you're going to love them. So you want to check those out. And but for this one, for Newsreel, this is a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate, please distribute. We are selling our DVDs, and we are doing that, you bet. We're trying to make a buck just like everybody else. But we got a ton of stuff that we're giving away for free, and it's not crap. The bulk of our stuff we give away for free, so please make it have value. Give it to people who you think would be interested. There's a lot of people out there who just need to hear about us, okay? That's all they need, and once they hear about us, they'll be able to become, well, they'll be able to have a place to go. Really, I mean, that's what we are. We are the shelter for the consciousness of the individual. We're a pretty accepting crowd. We got some basic ground rules and stuff, but generally speaking, we're a pretty accepting good group of guys, you know? You want to be a WOG? Awesome. You are now officially WOG.
We've got a place for you.
Yeah, you know, we got room for you. You know, there is shelter here. But if you cannot donate, you know, distribute, if you can donate, you know, what you do is you subscribe. You go down. You throw $5 a month at us, or more, if you like. But, $5 a month for 4 hours of free medium at a minimum. At a minimum. And that covers, unfortunately, if this is your first time hearing the show, I mean, you're going to discover, oh, my gosh, there's, like, we got over, how many hours of media? We got, like, over 1,000 hours.
Just thousands. Thousands of hours.
Of media. Which, you know what? You want to sample it? Sure. Why don't you have the whole thing for free? And if you think it's worth a damn, you know,
price of a cup of coffee a month.
Yeah, you know, realistically, you probably lose that amount of change in your car. The homeless guy didn't do a fucking thing for you. You know, the chick just brought you dinner and you gave her $5 and a tip. Okay? Come on here. Total effort for her, not much. Okay, I'm out here, I can't feel my toes. But if you can... You know, you can do this by going to my LiveJournal site and click on the subscribe tab, or you can go to the donate tab on the Dark Atlas website and click on there. Or, you know, if you want to send us some stuff, you can. Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 12215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data, as well as Baldy for hosting this crazy crew and the guys who did the work here. I can't remember his name. Somebody type his name in the forum. The guy who did all the work on the new thing, because I want to put
Epex.
Epex, thank you very much. Oh, he sent me one of the stories.
Looks awesome.
Yeah, he did an awesome job. Epex Pryor. And, you know, I'm amazed. You know, people come to me and they show me these amazing avatars and all this stuff. And the fact that we're even meeting inside of cyberspace, it's like, you know, the fact we have this amazing set and place for people to come and experience thanks to these people's talents. It's like, thank you for painting the Star Cruiser. You know, it's an amazing world we're living in. And if we can just, you know, keep moving this, we're gonna do pretty all right. I think, what do you want to do for a fade-out track today, Sim?
Put me on the spot. Good job.
Well, I don't know.
I have no idea.
No idea at all? I think I'm going to put some Onyx on there. I think I'm going to go way back. I'm going to put Onyx, Two Wrongs Don't Make a Right on there for the last track today. So, good times. Just because I just enjoy it. I think that they're so crazy. They're so totally hardcore nuts. It just makes me laugh every time I hear it. So, you got anything else, Simi?
No, that's it. Covered it all.
Okay, good deal. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So, until next time, hey, that's what Server said. End of line.
Bro, we gotta get this motherfucking cash.
No doubt, man, cause I'm saying, man. Illuminati, I heard they trying to really just hold shit down.
They trying to shut us down.
They trying to shut us down. Cause we're out there on the low.
The drunk will make your right, put it damn, so make a statement. The drunk will make your right, put it damn, so make a statement. The drunk will make your right, put it damn, so make a statement. The drunk will make your right, put it damn, so make a statement. The drunk will make your right, put it damn, so make a statement. The drunk will make your right, put it damn, so make a statement. The drunk will make your right, put it damn.
I want justice, I'm a nigga with the gun in the right. Mind to bust this, fuck this. I'm mad at the world of hell, I got a vengeance. My first offense, I caught the life or death sentence. The real black homies in jail, with no protection. Skilling me, caught in these facilities, correction. Cincinnati scanning us, who are my fellow prisoners? Time to go to war, we'll be dead if we stay listening. Time to get the tech, and go step to the president. U.S. chief, citizen, fuck American, resident. And yeah, I gotta speak to betterment. I speak slang for my niggas who got hell.
Make sure it's real. First we gotta destroy and then rebuild.
Even if it mean it, I'ma give myself hell. Don't make me no difference, I done wrote my will. And talk about what they did to us is dumb. What we need to be talking about, what we gonna do to them. I could be vengeful, it's the last thing I do. When I start speaking in tongues, the Holy Ghost couldn't save you. So do you want answers?
Yeah, I want answers, the truth.
You want the truth, couldn't handle the truth. Cause they got our brainwashed. So we the minority, but when we kill them off, we gonna be the majority. See, I was raised to fight for what I believe in. I won't forget, can't forget, I'm trying to get even. And if nobody speak up, then I'll leave my people. Cause the wrongs are making right, but it damn should make a sequel. I'm inciting riots, so let's start the looting. And whoever enforce the laws, I guess we just got to shoot them. Cause in this revolution, I loathe my enemy. I'm agnostic, plus I got no identity. So lovers of life, don't keep your hopes up high. Cause it's just a matter of time before it's your turn to die. But until then, when you stop breathing, it's time to stand up and fight for what you believe in.
Don't make your life put it.